This is Good Morning NoCo with Brian Carey and Tanner Schwint on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Well, it was an incredibly rough weekend for college football, Colorado college football, I should say. UNC lost again. They dropped to 0-9. CSU loses the border war. They're at 3-6. CU loses to Oregon State. They're 4-5. And in the last 3 weeks, those two, Air Force drops one to Army. In the last 3 weeks, the three that I just mentioned, UNC, CU, and CSU, a combined 0-9. Fellas, are we a basketball state? We're about to be tonight. UNC basketball's in action. CSU's back in action. But I think we're turning into, at least on the collegiate side, well, even on the NBA side as well.
No, all the way around.
Colorado's starting to become a basketball state.
All the way around. Colorado was always known for football. I mean, football was what
Broncos.
You thought of. I mean, the Denver Broncos, and then that spreads throughout.
Yep.
Everything. Preps is king, you know, with football and all that. But boy, you can make an argument that basketball, man, when that takes off, when Preps basketball begins, that gets crazy, you know, especially around here. Our collegiate basketball, look, the UNC Bears can compete in a Big Sky Conference. You know, they have before, and that's one of the sports where the big move years ago hasn't killed a program.
Right. Right.
You know,
yeah.
The NCAA, the men's basketball team and the women's has done well too. I'm just talking, but in men's sports for college basketball, UNC has stayed competitive.
Well, and it's because all it takes is the end of the year, the Big Sky tournament.
Right.
Right. You just got to get hot, and that's going to get you there. And that's fair. Now, I'm curious to learn a lot more about UNC basketball. They get underway against Colorado College tonight at 7:30.
I don't know much about this team this year.
No, they graduated a lot. 7 o'clock pregame show, though, with Mike Rice on the call tonight. Angel, I know you had a chance to go out to one of their round ball events. St. Thomas, am I saying that correct? That sounds like a vacation destination. But he's kind of the guy that most people have their eyes on for UNC this year, right?
Yeah. So Steve Smiley made an emphasis in the offseason to bring in some transfers. I believe 5 or 6 was the ended up being the final number there. But one of those guys is St. Thomas, who is, I believe he's from Nebraska, but he's bounced around a bit in JUCO schools. Finally getting his first shot here at Division I, and he's very athletic, very, very just a good all-around player for this team. I think you're going to see him all over the floor. But I know for one thing that stuck out about with this Bears team is that they have a lot of depth this year. They really feel like their starting 9 guys are, you know, can complement each other well. We will see how they integrate some of these newer players with some of the older guys as well. But obviously the absence of Matt Johnson and Dalen Coons, guys that were kind of pillars of this program for so long, who's going to take up those leadership roles? Who's going to take up those scoring, those defensive energy abilities? But I have a lot of confidence in Coach Smiley, and he seems very confident about his team this year.
Well, and who's going to be the guy, right? I think you just alluded to that. Who is going to be the one game on the line, who's going to have the ball in their hand? And that this is going to be a young team. And, you know, when you talk about a young basketball team like the UNC Bears are, there's going to be growing pains throughout. But I think that was also to your point, Angel, when you had Matt Johnson and Dalen Coons, if those two guys were a little off, there was not a whole lot of depth to help. Like, it was those two.
No.
It was those two. And, you know, they're going to have some early season tests. You're going to have CSU coming into the bank to take on UNC. You're going to go down to CU and play Tad Boyle and the Buffs before you get into that Big Sky play. It's going to be intriguing to see what they do have this year. And one of the things that have been brought to our attention, Dalton Connect, he transferred out of UNC over to Tennessee.
Tennessee, is that where he went?
Tennessee is where he ended up at. there's a lot of people who think that Dalton Knecht is going to be the guy on the number 9 ranked Volunteers.
Wow.
He threw down just a filthy dunk the other day that just is turning heads. So Dalton Knecht really starting to turn heads there for Tennessee. But we'll see what UNC has on the other side. Talk about UNC losing a lot of those guys. CSU retained theirs in Isaiah Stevens, the point guard coming back. Heard the first edition of the Isaiah Stevens show on Brady's show, on the whole show on Friday.
Awesome.
Isaiah is so, I could sit there and listen to him talk forever, man. He's just so well put together. And we'll talk more about it tomorrow with Kevin Lytle, I'm sure. But this team, they added some size. And that's, I think, what they were missing last year. And you get back Isaiah Stevens, and if this team can stay healthy, Josiah Strong, I heard Brady talking about that. Josiah Strong was a guy that didn't get a chance to play a whole lot last year, had a long-term illness that kept him out. It's almost like he's a new player that transferred in, even though he was on the roster last year. He didn't get a chance to play. So I know Brady's very high on the CSU basketball team. I know Kevin Lytle's very high. And when the two best insiders for CSU that high on a team, I tend to trust him, Brian.
I'm really looking forward to hearing and seeing what they can do, because I think we know that CSU is going to be able to shoot.
Yeah, they're going to
be able to shoot. But I think the question, as you pointed out, Tanner, was, you know, how can they stand up in a physical battle? Because teams are going to come at them that way.
Yeah.
You know, knowing it, they're going to test that, especially early on, and see, you know, how much strength is there in this, in the bigs.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
No, and, that's exactly right.
Yeah, and We'll start to have that answered later on tonight. Now, who do they open with?
They open with Louisiana Tech tonight. I got no idea, but I would imagine that the Rams win that one by a lot, just to kind of open things up. So they Louisiana Tech, Wright State, Northern Colorado, UNC, you just got done talking about them, Kansas City, and then, Brian, Boston College, CU, Washington, DU, St. Mary's is ranked number 23.
Wow.
I mean, they've got a gauntlet, and all those that I just listed, those five, are coming to Moby to take on the Rams. I'm very excited about what CSU could do this year, and getting a chance to meet Nico Medved and talk with him and talk with some of these players. They're all so likable, man. He's got the culture in the right way, in the right shape right now.
No, I think they are right on the precipice of possibly, you know, getting back to where they were a couple years ago.
Yeah.
You know?
Being in that big dance.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I don't think that's out of the realm of thinking before a season starts, obviously. You like to think that. But, I mean, the excitement where we went from the end of last year with so many unknowns and just wondering and kind of expecting not to be as pumped this year, because I think there was a lot of thought that Isaiah was going to go, and, you know, we didn't have the transfers that were, you know, at that point that were locked in for what we have now. This team changed its face from what we thought it might be to what it is now pretty drastically at the end of last year.
No, they did, and kudos to Nico Medved for that, right? Like, the big piece was Isaiah Stevens. He makes a decision to stay. Things start to look pretty good for
him. Well, you can draw in some other people to play who want to play with him.
That's right. Yeah. If I'm a slasher, if I'm a shooter, if anybody, Isaiah Stevens makes everybody on the court better. So excited about CSU. All right, let's talk about the NBA in-season tournament. The Denver Nuggets beat the Dallas Mavericks 125-114 on Friday night. I didn't get a chance to watch this. I was down at the Colorado Great game. Angel, I know you were live tweeting about it. I know you were probably flipping back and forth between the Border War and this game on Friday. Brian, what was, Angel, I'll go with you first. What was your major takeaway from the NBA in-season tournament? After seeing a game, are you more excited about it?
Not really. I was more excited just to see the team win. That was a tough Dallas team that they played. Visually, it looks different, but I mean, after a while, you just kind of get used to it, and you're more focused on the game itself, and it didn't seem like the players or the coaches really had any external feelings like, oh, this game felt different. It's basketball, so Yeah. I didn't really get much of a difference.
What are your thoughts on it, Brian?
Yeah, I give absolutely zero craps about the tournament.
Yeah.
I mean, absolutely not. All that matters is the Nuggets win a game and keep working on trying to win the West. That's what it's about.
They're 6-1 right now to start this thing off. And let's give him credit because we were hard on him last week. But MPJ stepped up Friday and Saturday. He puts 24 points and 9 boards on the stat sheet on Friday. He played 34 minutes. It's 10 of 18 shooting, 4 for 8 from the three-point line. And then he turns around on Saturday and drops 27 as well against the
Bulls. He's been fantastic.
He answered. He answered. And now the key for these guys, Jamal Murray and MPJ, consistency. Who's going to be that running mate with Nikola Jokic, who, again, on Saturday against the Chicago Bulls, 28 points, 16 rebounds, and 9 assists for the Joker.
What happened to – I only saw the box score. I did not see the Nuggets game against the Bulls. Why did Murray have 2 points?
He's dealing with some hamstring tightness.
Okay.
Oh,
was he?
With his wrist.
So did he sit?
Of a scheduled rest game for him because it was a back-to-back.
Okay.
So he was already kind of scheduled to rest.
So he only played 10 minutes on Saturday. So good point out there, Angel. Thanks for watching that as well. And Reggie Jackson filling in, man. He gets 25 minutes, and he puts up 16 points to go along with 3 assists. Did Reggie Jackson as the Nuggets move to 6-1. They are undefeated at home. When is the next NBA in-season game for the Nuggets?
Next Tuesday again. I think they're hosting the Clippers.
Ah. That doesn't make any sense to me. I don't understand it. I don't like it. I don't understand it.
What?
The in-season tournament.
Yeah, I don't. This is part
they're
of the tournament?
Group stage right now. So they're playing. There are 4 games selected that will be. They're playing their group games. So Dallas, the Clippers, the Pelicans, and the Rockets.
So they play the Pelicans tonight. Is that an in-season game?
No. The in-season games will only be on Tuesdays and Fridays.
Okay. I appreciate you understanding it because it makes no sense to
none
me.
Whatsoever.
I'm glad you understand it. And I know you did a deep dive into it. I'm glad you did, man, because we would sound like we do right now, like morons when it comes to the in-season tournament. And hey, if they go and win the in-season tournament, good. You got 500. Is it 500,000 that you win? Good. You won 500,000. Here's a bonus for you.
I say enjoy this year's in-season tournament because there won't be another one. This creates nothing. It's so unnecessary.
The Nuggets take on the Pelicans tonight, 7 o'clock. Jamal Murray, according to ESPN right now, is ruled out for tonight. So Nuggets, Pelicans tonight. 8:19 the time. There's your look at sports here on Good Morning NoCo. We'll come back with more, get some more responses to our Happy Life Gardens poll question as well. What do you think about this change of the time? 8:20 the time now. It is Good Morning NoCo. As if we didn't have enough to worry about in the world.
What now?
Elon Musk has announced Grok.
What?
Grok. Is that what I'm saying right? Grok, G-R-O-K. It's his AI chatbot with a rebellious streak, according to CNN.
Isn't that what he is?
Elon Musk has announced the introduction of Grok. For some users of X, they can use it already, which a billionaire suggests has a sarcastic sense of humor similar to his own. Musk, who has owned X, formerly known as Twitter, for a year, announced late Saturday that Grok is being trained by having real-time access to information from the platform. Musk's AI startup, XAI, which developed the bot, said in a blog post that it took inspiration from The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy, a comedy sci-fi novel by British author Douglas Adams.
What is the application of this?
I don't know, man.
I keep hearing the AI. What is the application? What is the purpose?
Can help do
what?
Things. It helps me write ads every once in a while. You can ask it simple. You can ask it questions.
And can't you do that more with Google?
Yeah, but this instead of going through and searching for everything, this pulls everything from the interwebs and gives you an answer right there. So it goes and does the research.
But how do who determines what it grabs?
That's where you got to be careful. Musk has also come out previously and said that he is a little bit worried about the AI. Not that he's invented, but maybe the AI that he's invented. But
no, I'm sure his is perfectly fine.
I think he's been pretty pretty he's owned up to this quite a bit, actually, is that he's a little worried about how extreme AI has gotten artificial intelligence.
I'm old, I guess, because I just don't understand it. It makes no sense to me. I don't know what its application is for other than to replace humans, but with one that can go on the fritz. I know people can, too, but why are they making these?
I don't know. Grok is intended to rival ChatGPT, which is an AI chatbot released by to the public by its maker, OpenAI, last November. Too much fanfare.
It's almost like these are the people who had an inflatable doll when they were a kid, and they've just continued it into a different version of I always want artificial people with me.
That's one way of looking at it. But it is here. It is here. Oh, artificial intelligence is here. 8:30 the time. It's Good Morning Inoco, presented by Air Solutions.
I don't get it.
Hey, 8:33 the time here. Good morning, NoCo. I'm Tanner Schwimp, Brian Gary, my co-host. Lyle Smith-Graybeal will be joining us here in just a couple of minutes in the Aloe Fiber Studios to talk a little bit about United Way of Weld County. But I want to say thanks to Clearwater Products. Clearwater Products, a company that has supported the ag and oil and gas industries since 2013. And now they've got this huge storefront down at 2021 First Avenue in Greeley. And thanks to Brian's time change, if you guys can't get your jobs done out there while it's still daylight, every minute is precious, they can deliver the parts right to you in the field. You can call them at 970-673-8891.
Yeah, they're great people.
Change.
Yeah, my time change.
It is now your time change.
Hey, I love that I have this much control. But how do people feel about it? That's what we're asking today with our Happy Life Gardens poll question. I was expecting to be inundated with you stupid. Why would you like it that way? But I'm finding a lot of people do agree with me, but I think the majority like their daylight at the end of the day.
Yes, that is the major thing.
But okay, now I'm getting a few. Brittany says, same as me. I love it. Michelle, I love these hours.
Quit handpicking.
Mary says, forgot it was called standard time. All right. Charlotte says, I agree. Kim says, I love daylight saving time and leave it on that one.
Yeah.
Well, no, Kim, I can't because you said savings time and there's no S. Holly says, barf. No, keep the old time.
Yeah. Holly,
all right. That's
it.
Our first barf. But also, Nicola says, leave the light in the morning and the sunrises are amazing this time of the year.
Trina said, nope, just wish it could be left alone, but not in my lifetime. So send in your responses. What do you think about the time change that we are experiencing right
now? And, of course, as we talked with Chris Vanderveen earlier, this was one that legislation had made, so this wasn't going to happen anymore. And, of course, never
it
has been enacted.
Nothing happened. So stupid. So stupid. Like, overwhelmingly, it passed, too. Like, it was, I don't want to say, I don't, maybe I can go and find the results of the vote, but I think there's maybe one or two, if that, who voted against it.
Just me and.
Yeah, yeah.
And Charlotte, or whoever had
Marjorie
responded.
Taylor Greene, yeah. 8:35 the time. Smith-Graybeal.
We know that if the light hits her, she melts.
Let's get to the bottom of the hour news and weather center. Welcome back into the Aloe Fiber Studios. I am Tanner Schwint. Brian Gary is my co-host.
Yes, I am.
Angel Padilla is doing the production work, and we are in the Aloe Fiber Studios. As I said, we make up Good Morning NoCo, and we're pleased to be joined by a friend that we haven't seen in quite some time, Lyle Smith-Graybeal with United Way of Weld County. Lyle, thanks for coming in this morning, my friend.
Hey, I'm glad to be here. Thanks, Tanner.
I love it. So I see the sticker. You got your ballot dropped off?
I'm doing it this morning. So my ballot and Felicia, my spouse's ballot, go in the box this morning.
Very good. Very
awesome.
Important. Yeah.
I love getting that
tomorrow.
Sticker. There's just something I've always dug getting the sticker.
I like it too, but like I filled out my ballot 2 weeks ago. So it's like, I'd be wearing it on a random day. You'd be like, what? Why are you wearing that now? I feel like you got to wait and save it for election day. I think you jumped the gun, Lyle.
Well, we're a mail-in ballot state. Any day could be voting day.
That is
for
2 weeks.
Cut them some slack, Jack. Why don't you back off, man?
Just saying. Maybe jump the gun a little bit. But Lyle, it's been a while, my friend. How are you? What's new with you?
First off, just congrats on your marriage.
Thank you very much.
Very exciting.
I survived the first week.
Yeah, great.
Yeah.
Learned anything in the last week?
No. No. I got yelled at in the last week, which is good.
Oh, that'll come.
Yeah, I figured.
That will come.
Honeymoon stage.
Yes.
Yeah.
No, and where you're asking him, he survived the first week?
Yeah.
It's Jenna we need to be talking about. What does he have to do? He's got to live with Jenna. Big whoop. She's got to now go and say, I'm his wife. I chose him.
She's already yelling at me because of how many different places she has to go to change her name. And I said, for what it's worth, I would have done the same for you. And she goes, why didn't you then?
I did that, actually, because my last name is Smith Grabiel. And Felicia, my spouse, her last name was Smith. And my last name was Grabiel. And as a male, I'd put my name in the paper, you know, like a legal notice.
Really?
And all these kinds of things that Felicia didn't have to do.
No kidding.
Because of my maleness, you know, so.
That's interesting. Wow. The more you know.
And actually, we lived in Denver at the time. And so I had to put a little legal ad in the Denver Post, or maybe I did the Rocky Mountain News. I can't remember which.
No kidding.
I had no idea.
Was there like an infomercial too?
Because creditors. Like women can't have credit, apparently, you know.
Right.
So they don't have to put that their name is changing, but at the time, maybe they do now, or maybe neither do.
I have no idea, man.
But I had to put it in there for the sake of creditors.
Okay.
So, wow, I had no idea there was that much that went into that.
Sounds like my wife needs to buy an ad here on KFK.
Yeah, maybe that would count.
Do you want to send Dustin over to talk to her, or are you going to try to close the sale?
Well, you could do the ad.
Yeah, that's right. I will voice it. Hey, buy the way, everybody. She's off the market. Why? We don't know. Lyle, thanks for coming in, my friend. And thank you very much. It was a beautiful wedding. I just want to point out the Saturday after and the Saturday before, the Saturday we picked in the 70s and sunny, the day that we picked to get married, we got a foot of snow.
Right,
so, very good planning on our part. But
Lord, give me a sign. That's what
prosperity and fertility, man. Lyle, let's dive in. So you were mentioning something during the break about a commission that the mayor has put together. I miss this. So talk us through this. We're talking homelessness today. Talk us through what this commission is all about.
So the mayor, Mayor Gates, has put together a commission on homelessness for better addressing homelessness in Greeley and, you know, by extension, Well County. That is going to meet. I wasn't actually in the meeting, but my understanding is it's going to meet for a period of time, maybe indefinitely, just for the sake of bringing together the those who are working most with those who are experiencing homelessness, and also just to think about, you know, how do we reduce the number of people experiencing homelessness? How do we solve homelessness? How do we attract more resources for the sake of a more unified effort on homelessness? And then they're also using the opportunity as an opportunity to do some shared learning. We're actually learning quite a bit from Milwaukee because Milwaukee is a larger metropolitan area. It's has a kind of climate like we have, and also they've been very successful in implementing this concept that I think we've talked about before, which is housing first. This idea that people do better, you know, when they're in housing. You know, I can better keep employment. I can better get mental or physical health care. I can better do the things that I need to do to have a stability so that I can, get back into employment and back into the kinds of things that I need that are going to keep me from being homeless, you know, ongoing.
Right. It's almost like that's that first step, and then everything else falls in line. Now, I know Melanie is a huge numbers person.
Yeah.
She likes to talk numbers. And do we have the number of people who are currently experiencing homelessness in Weld County with us, with you, Lyle?
Yeah. So the most recent point in time count for Weld County was 306 people experiencing homelessness, and that's a point in time count. And that was actually the last week of January of this of 2023.
Okay.
I think the number that is more applicable to me or more noteworthy is at the cold weather shelter last season. over at the Housing Navigation Center at US 34 and US 85, there were 156 people that stayed there that are considered chronically homeless, which means they've either been living unsheltered for a year or within the last 3 years they've lived unsheltered three times. And that's really the number of people that we need to focus the most on, because they are the ones that we are seeing, you know, living in a tent or living unsheltered. And they're also people that have the most challenging circumstances with mental health or with substance use, those kinds of things. So that's really the number, I think, to focus on as a community, is that 156.
So those are the kind of numbers, and that's where we as a public should gauge whether it's working or not.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, we can talk about, oh, the amount of homelessness is dipping, where most people would drive through, you know, or in their everyday life in our city, they can't tell.
Yeah.
You know, they're not going to know. I mean, so what do we use to gauge that as a community of saying, oh, this is working? Because visually it's one thing, but how do we know it's actually going? How does the public, do we have the ability to see these numbers and this information and these kind of things, Lyle?
We don't have it in real time as like for the, well, actually we do have it. I mean, we have published it before in real time, just on a Google sheet, the number of people that are staying at the cold weather shelter every night. We could get back to that. We haven't done that. I don't think we did that last season. But we do actually have this regional effort, the Northern Colorado Continuum of Care between Weld and Larimer counties, does have a number, a count of the number of people that they know of that are experiencing homelessness. And they publish those numbers every month. It actually comes through, well, it comes through our United Way reporting, and also it may actually be on the NOCOCOC.org website. So there's a number of different numbers that you could, you know, look at.
I'm just curious, you know, when we talk about being homeless, I think that I immediately focus on, okay, in Greeley.
Mm-hmm.
In Greeley, and I forget about the outlying, smaller rural areas. Mm-hmm. How prevalent is homelessness? You know, when you start talking about, you know, do we have issues in places like Kersey or, you know, or in Nunn or, you know, these small areas around here? How do we gauge the homelessness there? And is it a situation, or do most of them find their way down to Greeley where you can unite and kind of find an area where you can be?
I'd say that's experience over time. You know, we've not done an exhaustive study of this. But
sure,
it
but
makes
I'm just kind of curious.
Yeah, if a person does lose their housing, if they are in their car, they're going to go, you know, or not in a car, they're going to go where services are. So let's say they're in Larimer County, they're going to go to Fort Collins, or they're going to go to Loveland. If they're in Weld County, they're going to go to Greeley. If they're, you know, Denver Metro, they're going to gravitate towards downtown Denver, because that's where the services are.
Okay.
But, you know, in all areas, I'd say, and another thing I wanted to share while we're here, I'll get to that. But the greater challenge for Kersey, for Frederick, for Fort Lupton, are when families lose their housing, they need to live with another family just to stay, you know, in their area, stay employed, have their children stay in school. And it's called doubled up. So I'd say throughout Weld County, actually, the last three times our health department, they do an every 3 year survey on just health throughout the county. They've asked the question of has another family lived with you within the last year out of economic necessity? And each time they've got, you know, they survey 1,000 households. So it's not like they've surveyed every household. But typically it's about 10% of our population in Weld County of the households have had another family living with them out of economic necessity. And that doesn't mean all year. That could be for a month. That could be for a couple of weeks.
Sure.
That could be for 6 months. But it's it is something that in an expensive housing market like we have here, it's more likely for people to lose their housing. And if you lose your housing, you know, to stay around, you're going to live with another family.
Now, we're talking with Lyle Smith, Graybill from United Way of Weld County this morning. You say it's an expensive housing market here, but relatively speaking, you look around the rest of the state here in Northern Colorado, Weld County, we're cheaper than a lot of those other places as well. But going to your point, Brian, where you're talking about some of these offshoot communities, why they don't see it. Well, the homeless tend to congregate, and they're in specific areas, right? And I would have to imagine that's probably why people who are just driving through downtown Greeley, who are driving through these areas where they set up shop, for lack of a better term, that's why the general public sometimes goes, who's doing something about this, right? Mm-hmm. Unless they're paying attention to what United Way is doing and in your collaborative efforts with these other partners, they're not going to know that because they drive through once and say, oh, okay, nothing's changed. Mm-hmm. But we know, in fact, you and a group of partners are working on this very diligently right now, Lyle. Who are some of those partners you guys are working with?
Well, the shelters, so Catholic Charities, Greeley Family House, A Woman's Place. I'd say that the biggest change within the last year has been City of Greeley because they are making a more concerted effort to address homelessness and to end the experience of homelessness for people. And you probably heard her name, but Juliana Kitten is the assistant city manager that works on housing and homelessness. And one of the projects they're working on right now is they got vouchers from the state, 60 housing vouchers, and also the city put it in the budget for Juliana to hire a number of case managers. And so they're in the process over the last few months of helping a number of these people, the 156, those who are considered chronically homelessness, to get back into housing. And at present, I think are around 40 people. She and her case management team have helped to get back into housing. So that's really what, you know, it's that concrete. We need housing opportunities. We need case management. We need to connect people to services, you know, person by person by person. That's what is going to end homelessness. But, you know, and with that, we will see less and less unsheltered homelessness, you know, people right. living out of doors.
Well, we got about a minute left. Anything else that we need to get to here today?
Well, the one thing I wanted to mention is that price of housing. There's a recent study that's come out. It's been done every 10 years for the last few decades, just looking at the cost of housing in non-coastal areas. So areas that are more than 60 miles or more away from a coast. I mean, it used to be that was pretty much dispersed throughout the country, but this most recent study, the top four areas were Boulder, Denver, Fort Collins,
and Greeley.
Yep. And we're now more expensive in Greeley and Weld County than Portland, Oregon.
Now, so, some of those stats you get into that just make you want to... Yeah, shake
that's
your head.
Wild.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. We were talking about that with Chris Wood actually just a couple of weeks
ago.
Okay,
sure. Yeah,
how that popped up, and man, it's a real problem, and that makes your guys' fight at United Way of Weld County so vitally important, as it is more and more expensive for people to get into housing. So, how can people support, Lyle? How can people get involved, and whether it be via finances or their time?
Yeah.
What's the best way for them to go about that?
Well, I think education is a big part of it. Understanding, not that. People don't choose homelessness. They a lot of times they'll just lose their housing, and then that's a natural consequence of people are going to experience homelessness. But of course, donating to United Way of Weld County, unitedway-weld.org, or just getting involved. We have volunteer opportunities this cold weather shelter season to volunteer at the cold weather shelter to serve a meal or to engage with other of our partners, Greeley Family House, Catholic Charities, on volunteerism or donations to them. Any of that, just the focus on homelessness and housing is really important for our local area at this time.
Love it. Lyle, thank you so much for the work that you do. Thanks for stopping by this
morning, too. Thanks for
great to see you, man.
Chance.
Of course.
Yeah.
8:55 the time. We'll come back and wrap up hour number three next. Brian, lots of people agreeing with me so far this morning on the poll question.
Yeah, you just like to be able to say that. It's such a rarity.
It is such a rarity.
That you can say that most people are agreeing with you.
It never happens, my friend. And so when it does, I am going to I'm going to take it and I'm going to run with it.
No,
so,
enjoy your moment. But
I love this. If I got comments here. Tom, agree, because I said I hate the damn time change. Leave it how it was. What do you think? Tom, agree. Kyle, same. Mike, agree. Kelly, agreed. All of them hate it. It's because they're just now rolling in late, Brian, because they were not used to the time change.
No, that doesn't come into play.
Groggy.
You can't roll in late today and blame it on the time change.
You can be groggy, though. Still.
You can be early.
No, you can still be a little messed in the head because, what is this? It's supposed to be, we should be wrapping up the show right now.
Well, and there it is.
All right. Good. We're just going to cut
good
it
night.
Out.
We love you, ladies and gentlemen. We love you, Northern Colorado. Thanks
Balls.
For tuning in.
Ben Barnhart.
Our show's over. There's
Ben Barnhart, executive director of Greeley Philharmonic Orchestra, will be here, as well as Cody Wilson, Denver Front Range weather meteorologist. It's all coming your way next on Good Morning NoCo.
See you in the morning.